I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about trusting the plan. Yesterday, we talked about how God has written a book about our lives. David says, all of my days were ordained. They were ordained for me. They were written in your book before they ever came to be. Jesus says, it was written about me in your scroll. I desire to do your will. Timothy says that God has called us to a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I think God has written about each one of our lives. He's written a book about our lives. But then we get to choose whether we want to walk out that plan, walk out that purpose. But then once we get going, we start walking out what God wrote about us. We have to trust in the plan, because God often takes us on a path that's a little different than we expect. He often curves us around to the goal. It's not usually a straight shot, but he usually takes this curved path, but it's also a much gentler path as we go. But let's get started with prayer, and then we'll dive into this a little bit more. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion times is we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. This is the prayer that I pray over myself and my family and everybody connected to me every day. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer. To get still, to listen, to examine ourselves before we get into our time of communion. But let's get started with the prayer. This prayer is mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening and all their families and friends and all those connected to them. We just pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, and let us find grace and favor in your eyes to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence, and I'm going to say boldness, because you're with us. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to take a couple minutes to go through the other half of prayer. We're going to start with, let's get our minds positioned on the light. We can either be focused on the light and what we're grateful for, things that are going well, steps forward that we've taken, that God's with us, or we can focus on the darkness. And the difference is, you'll notice, you'll have this internal feeling on the inside. When we're focused on darkness, there will be the sense of just heaviness in your spirit. There might be overwhelm, feelings of hopelessness. There might be confusion. What am I going to do? Not knowing which way to go. Those are all signals that we're focused on the dark. When we're focused on the light, we're focused on God being with us, and he knows what to do, and he can lead us on this path. He knows what's written in our book. He knows which way to go. And we've got him with us, and he loves us, and nothing's impossible for him. So to get us started, what are some things that you are grateful for? And if you want to track along with us, you can begin to write these down. If you go to our website at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com on the free tools and resources page, you can find some additional training videos that go with this other half of prayer and break down the prayer a little bit more as well, along with the tracker that you can use to follow along. But what are some things that you're grateful for? And then what steps forward did you take over the last 24 hours? What steps forward did you take? How did you move forward? What things did you get done? What got accomplished over the last 24 hours? Begin to write those things down. You can gain some encouragement from those steps forward that you took. And then let's get into our emotions a little bit. Emotions are indicators. Emotions are giving us feedback of how we're doing a lot of times. So the first one we're going to look at is peace. How is your level of just supernatural peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding? How is your level of peace over the last 24 hours? And remember, it's like a light switch. It's either on and flowing or it's not. God has given us in Christ his supernatural peace, but we have to put it to work. And it's like a light switch. Either that peace is flowing or it's not in our lives. And I've learned peace is my indicator of single-mindedness. It means I'm in faith and I'm single-minded with my eyes fixed on God. Often problems come at us in life and we start wavering because we're getting our eyes fixed on the problems more. Think about Peter walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus, he could walk on water. He was in faith. But when he got his mind on the wind and the waves and everything that was going on around him, he began to sink. Of course, Jesus could still come rescue him too. And so peace is our indicator that we're single-minded with our focus on God, that nothing is impossible with him, that he's with us. Peace is our indicator of that, being one with him and our eyes fixed on him, not being double-minded in our faith. Then how's your level of joy? Just supernatural, overflowing joy. Again, God's given us his joy in Christ. And it's like a light switch. Either that's on and it's flowing or it's off. And I've learned that joy is my indicator of presence, that I'm living in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence with me. I'm not dwelling and meditating on the past and living in regret over things that happened in the past. I'm not worried about the future. I'm living in the present moment. And in God's presence, I'm aware of God's presence with me in the present moment. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And so joy is my indicator that I'm living in the present moment. I'm doing the things that I know to do. I'm staying right here with God in the present moment. And I've learned that this joy is my indicator of presence. And presence is what I call the grace table turner. All this power and love and goodness and grace that God has given us. On the inside of us, we have this treasure in jars of clay, the Apostle Paul says. The way that that flows out of you, if you will get more present in the middle here, get more present. Stop living in the past. Stop living in the future. Get more present. Yes, it's good to look back at what's gone well, see testimonies and lessons learned from the past. And it's good to dream and vision and plan with God. But then we got to walk out our day living in the present moment. And when we do, it turns the tables and God's grace begins to flow out of you. And your cue that that's happening is joy. Your cue that that's happening in your life is joy, overflowing joy. And then what are the things that you know to do? What are the things that you know to do over the next 24 hours? And there might be some things you need to do, some administrative things, things around the house, errands you need to run, things that need to be done in your workplace. But then I also want you to think about what are the things, the bigger things? What are the things that you desire to do, that you're charged up to do, that you're motivated to do? That's really maybe some of the things that's on God's plan and purpose for your life. What are those things that God is stirring in your life to do? And beginning to take action on those things. And I want to talk about today. It's important to do those things, but remember two things. What you do and how you do it are both very important. What you do and how you do it. In fact, how you execute is almost sometimes more important than what you execute. How you execute is very important. We need the what and the how. And I want you to think about, I want you executing. As you go about your day, you write out the things that you know to do. Now it's about going in and executing with what? That peace and that joy focused on the light. And I want you focused on executing with confidence and boldness. Confidence and boldness. I'm just thinking of this example lately of the disciples. After Jesus is resurrected, goes up into heaven, I think it's Peter and John get arrested, and God breaks them out of prison. And they pray because the leaders had told them, don't preach anymore in this name. Don't preach or teach anymore about Jesus in the city of Jerusalem. And they pray and they ask God to help them speak the word with boldness. And God shakes the place. God answers their prayer and shakes the place. And so I want you going about your day as you execute the things that you know to do, the things that you are confident that need to be done. When you're still unsure of things, leave those for tomorrow. What are the things you know to do in executing those things with an increased level of confidence and boldness? Why? Because confidence, I believe, is one of the highest expressions of trust. And today we're talking about trusting in that plan. Confidence is one of the highest expressions of trust because confidence and boldness is this state where all doubt has been removed. Sometimes we're executing the things that we do and the things that we know to do, but we've got a little part of us that's still holding back. We've got a little part of us that's still holding back, and everything's not aligned toward the target or the goal. And so when we begin to execute and we execute with this confidence and boldness, everything is aligned, and this tremendous power can be released when everything is aligned. You know, I worked for almost 20 years doing personal training with clients in the gym. And it's amazing when you get an entire body, everything's going in the same direction, everything's working together. Tremendous levels of power and speed and strength can be displayed through the human body. But when you get one little area that's holding it back, one little area that's causing issues or going in the wrong direction, not doing what it's supposed to do, it can throw off the whole system. And so as we execute and we go throughout our day, getting to this place where we're executing with confidence and boldness and everything's going in together forward. I'm thinking of just another example in the human body, the way your nerve impulses work in your human body. Kind of like we're talking about, it's like a light switch. It's either on or off. Either things are on and flowing. Either your muscles are activating or they're not. And so as you're going about your day and you're executing those things that you know to do, full activation, where you're doing them with confidence and boldness. I think it activates something in our life when we do these things that we know to do and we do them the right way. Then our last question, what's the most important thing that God's been teaching you or showing you over the last day? And this is a time where I think it's good, if you're able to do so, to pause the recording for a couple minutes, to just get still and listen and kind of reflect back on the last day and allow God to bring to mind some of the things that he was showing you. You're seated with him. He's with you all day long. He's trying to teach you, to train you, to spend time with you. What are the things that he's showing you? Remember, he's trying to lead our lives to a beautiful place. Job chapter 36, he's trying to woo you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from all restriction and your table laden with choice food. He's trying to woo you along that path. And it's his voice that leads you along that path. And sometimes the path is not exactly what we expect it to be. Sometimes it bends and curves as he takes us on this gentler path, curved around toward the goal. So what are those things that he's been teaching you, he's been showing you? Actually, I did this last night. I just took a timer on my phone and I set a timer for 5 minutes. I just got still and just sat there and just a couple minutes before bed, for 5 minutes before bed last night, and just getting still and allowing God to bring back to mind and kind of replay the day over. All right, what are the things that God was teaching me? What was he showing me over the last day? And sometimes I'll admit, sometimes I do this too quickly. I just take like 30 seconds or a minute and just write down whatever comes to mind very quickly. But as I did that, and I just sat there and got still for just 5 minutes and just began to write down what was coming to mind as I recapped the day, more and more began to come to mind. You give the God this opportunity to speak to us. You know, we talk about prayer. Prayer is a two-way communication. Giving him the chance to speak some things back to us is an important aspect of this. All right, so let's get into trusting the plan. Yesterday we said that in Psalms 139, David says, all of my days were ordained, they were written about in your book, God, before they ever came to be. I believe God's written a book about our lives, and we get the choice to say yes to what he wrote about our lives and to walk those things out, or to go our own way and to do our own thing. He gives us the free will. He gives us the choice whether to walk those things out. But something I've learned is that as we begin to say yes to that plan, all the things that are on that path, they were designed to be done with God in partnership with him. You know, our goal in life, in the Abundant Life Blueprint, we talk about it often. Our goal or target in life is to make other people great. When God's grace is flowing, it takes us on this path of leading us into this place where we make other people great. And God takes us on this path to make us fruitful, to multiply us, and to increase greatly so that we're making a lot of other people around us great. That's the path that I believe he takes us on. But on that path, everything that's on that path, that's on his plan for our lives, I believe is designed to be done in covenant and in partnership with God, which means what? You can't do it on your own. So there's going to be some things, some steps of faith where God's going to call you to do things that, first of all, you didn't think you could do, that you thought maybe you would never do, maybe things that look impossible. And this is going to require trusting in the plan, trusting that he's with you, that he can do more through you than you ask or think or dream or imagine. Trust that he can equip you with the skills and talents and abilities that are needed to walk out what's in your book. It's going to require trusting in that plan. It's also going to require trusting. He's going to take you on a little different path probably than expected. When the Israelites went to the promised land, it says he curved them around a little bit longer way. And he did that on purpose, because if they went on the straight way, they were going to have to face all kinds of wars and battles that they were not prepared for. And so he took them on the gentler path. And so God, what's going to happen a lot of times is that you begin to say yes to what God wrote in your book. He's going to take you on a slightly different path than you expect. He's going to take you on a path that trains you and prepares you for where he's ultimately trying to take you. But it's not going to be a straight line. It's probably going to curve around. It may look like you're going down for a little bit. And this is where you have to trust in that plan, to trust in that plan, to keep looking at God, to keep your eyes fixed on him, to keep asking yourself this question. All right, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I doing what was written in my book? Am I in the right place at the right time? If the answer you keep getting on the inside is yes, then keep your eyes fixed on him, because he's going to curve you around that path. But when you start to come around, it's going to really accelerate on the back end of it. That's where you have to trust in that plan. You got to trust through the middle as you get started. That's an important piece. Now, there's also going to be some things along that path where you have to overcome some things. There's going to be some things that you have to go through. There's going to be some things that you have to overcome, and learning to overcome them by his grace flowing through you. You're going to have to get to this place where you stay in love and you stay in grace all the time, and you're going to overcome by doing good, maybe when people are doing some things that are not good to you. You have to get to this place where you overcome. He's going to take you on this gentle path that curves you around and gently prepares you for where he's trying to take you out here. But you have to trust in the middle. What it looks like, things are maybe going the wrong direction, keeping your eyes fixed on him and trusting through the middle. I've heard some people give the analogy of a winding staircase, where it's like you're going around a staircase and you're going up a level as you go, but it looks like you're going in the wrong direction from your target because it's winding around. But then when you come back around, you're at a higher level, and then you go back around it again. So God often takes us through this cycle of events in our lives. And when it looks like things maybe are going in the wrong direction, which this time of the year, the summertime, can often be that way, keep trusting the plan, keeping your eyes fixed on him. You stay tuned in him, follow those leadings. Keep focused on the light. How's my peace? How's my joy? Am I doing the things that I know to do? And am I doing them with a good attitude? And am I staying tuned into his voice? Am I allowing his voice to lead me? And those signals that I'm getting on the inside to let me know my cues for which way to go, which path to take. Often you can use peace as an indicator. Often when we're losing our peace, it's the signal we're getting separated from that plan and what was written in our book a little bit. Staying connected to him, and you keep following his voice. He's trying to lead you, like I said, to this spacious place, to this beautiful place. He's leading you with his voice. But often the path looks a little bit different than we expect, and that's where you have to trust in the middle. So we're going to take communion over this today. And today we're just going to be opportunity to just remind us to trust through the middle. When we talk about when we trust, getting to this place where we have confidence and boldness because we know that God is with us. All the doubt is removed. We know God's going to come through at the perfect time. He has an amazing plan for our lives. And if we keep saying yes to the plan, he's going to lead us to this beautiful place. And it's all going to happen at the perfect time. That God's got good intentions for you. He knows what he's doing better than we do. He's got the skills and the equipping, and he can teach you and he can train you. And he knows the perfect time to unfold everything in your life in a beautiful way. So some of this communion today is just going to be gratitude for that. That God, we can put our trust and our hope in your unfailing love for us. It's coming from the Psalms. We can put our hope and our trust in God's unfailing love, because love never fails and love will never let us down. We can keep trusting in him through the middle and he will never let us down. Think about David. David went on a path that didn't look like he expected on his journey to becoming king, but eventually he ended up where he was supposed to be. Joseph went on a path that didn't look like the path he was probably expecting, but eventually he ended up where he's supposed to be. God takes us on this path that doesn't look exactly like we think it's going to sometimes, but we can trust in his unfailing, steadfast love for us, and that nothing is impossible for him. At the right time, he can put us exactly where we're supposed to be. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this bread and what it represents. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then Jesus said this very simple thing. He said, "Take it. Receive it." Receive what? Receive that Jesus makes you right with God. You have his blessing and favor, his steadfast love on your life. He's with you. He makes you holy and righteous through his one sacrifice. And we have this amazing new covenant with God. We become one with God. We've been reconciled to God. Accounting term, to be reconciled, is to make things line up and be in agreement, to be one together. We've been reconciled to him through his body. Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. And we just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's just this opportunity for us to meditate on this new covenant with God. We can be one with him. He's given us his steadfast love. Nothing is impossible for him. And we have this opportunity to walk out this life and this, what he wrote about in our book, to do it with him, to have a covenant with him, to have a partnership with him where we do this together. And I believe as we do that, it helps us get to this place where we know God. As we walk out what's written in our book and we see him showing up and doing it with us, it's this opportunity to grow in our knowledge of God, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus and of God. And Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they would know you, God, the Father, and me, Jesus Christ, whom you sent." Knowing him, that's Jesus's definition of eternal life. And we can begin walking in that in greater and greater levels starting today. Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. In Jesus' name. All right, so now it's simply about walking out the things that you know to do. Staying tuned into him, staying plugged into him. And I want you to really focus today. Execute with confidence and boldness. Because we talk about trusting the plan. The highest levels of confidence, or highest levels of trust, I believe, is confidence. That state where all the doubt is removed. Everything's aligned together. All the doubt is removed in that state of confidence and boldness in the plan. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can learn more at our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.